RadioMD.com.
Decade after decade, he informs, educates, and spreads the word on good health. It's time for the Power of Health. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Every day today across the world, people are dealing with everything from upset stomachs, digestive problems, and of course, dealing with compromised guts. We all know in our hearts that the things that we do, the things we eat, and our cravings, and our inability to control our own palates are many times the culprit. Maybe an updated education for our palates are in order, and maybe some terminology definition updates might just give us some of the healthy tools we need in the battle of the unhealthy gut. Things are getting a little close to home these days with health problems, and I think all of us have our own stories to tell. Today with me is Natasha Trenev. Natasha is a world-renowned expert in the field of probiotics and the founder of the American probiotic industry. As a developmental scientist whose family has been commercially producing yogurt and other cultured foods for generations, Natasha has spent more than 40 years studying the health benefits connected to the consumption of beneficial bacteria. Help me welcome my guest, Natasha Trenev. Hello, Natasha.
Hello, Jeffrey. And today we hope to really empower people with information that they need to start thinking about and implementing in their lives, because it's not a formula show. We don't give you a formula with simple, you know, guidelines and simple solutions. Although the simplest thing you can do is start listening to your gut and change your lifestyle. But seriously, I think that we all need to explore this problem in depth, because the health of our country is going downwards. It's not going upwards. And we were just talking before the show about how it's now impacting our friends, mm-hmm. our relations, our associates. And it's no longer somebody else that has the problem. It's now people in our immediate circle that are showing the symptoms of not heeding this advice.
Well, and I think that, you know, we have wonderfully, graciously accepted and embraced technology in many parts of our life. And I think we've looked for the bigger, redder, riper everything in our life. And we want the bells and whistles. But somewhere along the line, our back to basics ideas have gotten so far away. I don't know how we actually took ourselves so far off the path of knowing what we should do. I mean, there was no technology 100 years ago, but people knew to drink good, healthy fluids. They knew to stay healthy. They needed to exercise and stay active and eat good foods and get rest. And back then, these principles were naturally, you know, just ingrained in our psyche. And we knew this is what we were supposed to do. And now we have all of this knowledge and we're so far away from the basics, and we've got to put it in reverse.
Absolutely. In other words, whatever was apropos even 20, 30 years ago has changed now. And, you know, from my own experience in reviewing the data that's coming out about how diet and how the microbiota, or the 100 trillion microbes that are in the gut, is really changing the state of our health. And it's a very complex issue, and people want to simplify it to give you a quick fix, because obviously it's, again, a simplistic formula for somebody to make quick money by selling you yet another book revealing hidden secrets and how you're going to lose weight and feel better. And yet we have not examined the societies that have historically have had good health and examined their diets, instead of coming up with theories about which diets are correct for us and what we should be eating every day. Because let me assure every listener that the food that you eat not only impacts your health, but impacts the health of the microbiota that's in your gut. And it's like a cross-looping or a vicious cycle, because the more ill you become, the less diverse your microbiota becomes, and the less able your body is able to defend itself from toxin absorption and the destruction of our immune system, and literally starving our body for nutrients.
Well, let me ask you a question. How did our palates, our taste buds, get to be so strong to the point when they are running the show? And what I mean by that is, today, when people get an idea of something they want to eat, and even though their brain and their heart and their mind knows better that they should not be eating those foods, their palate has a flavor. It has this taste sensation, and it wants it taken care of, and it will overrun your mind, and you will end up going to get whatever food that your body wants, and then ends up, you know, satisfying the taste buds, but then doing nothing for the body. I don't know how this happened when food got to the point when it was actually controlled by our taste buds, and we lost our strength to be able to say, no, we're going to have something healthier. But we give into it every day, and I see it every day.
Well, you know what it is? It's an addiction, and it's an addiction.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we're not responsible, but let's just look, you know, fast forward for the last 60 years when junk food has crept into our society, and it's decreased the diversity of the food that's available. And basically, the junk food was based on corn, wheat, soy, and meat, which are the top four ingredients in processed food. And guess what? Gluten is one of the biggest fillers used in ground hamburger meat to extend its, how shall I say, taste, and used as a filler. So no wonder that we're having these problems with gluten sensitivity, because something it was found in small amounts in grains has now been concentrated and added to processed food. And this processed food then stimulates the growth of certain microbes in our gut. And those microbes, believe it or not, produce chemical compounds and, you know, stimulate the production of certain hormones that make us crave the very food we're not supposed to be eating. So it's not just about our self-restraint. It's about, you know, that it becomes a vicious cycle, because the cells in our gut are responding to this, you know, community of new microbes that we have generated by the consumption of this junk food. And now this junk food becomes also the favorite of the bacteria or other microbes that are not so friendly to our health. And so they are stimulating the production, as I said, of biochemicals and hormones that create this thirst in us to have these simple carbohydrates and this junk food. And really, you know, in order to change, the science says that you can change your desire for eating certain foods within 2 weeks, and that you just have to know that you have to find ways to control that urge, because it's really taking you down a path of self-destruction.
Well, you know, I see people all the time, and it is so funny, because we'll be talking about, you know, what we're going to have for a meal or something, and we will actually verbalize that we're planning on eating and ordering food that we know is no good for us. You know, people say, you know what, I just feel like just eating junk food tonight. And I'm like, okay, you know, you mean people are going to do what they're going to do, even though they know better. And they're also the same people that an hour later will have an upset stomach, or they'll have a case of diarrhea, or they'll get constipated, or they'll have, you know, dyspepsia or burping or gas or bloating. And they know all this. And we do know what is going on. We know our bodies.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, so let me give you the reasons that we're possibly in the shape that we're in. Let's say for the last, since World War II, when antibiotics became available, it was a miracle drug. And we all know, mm-hmm. we've seen the papers in the medical journals that say that whenever a patient went in to see a doctor, if they couldn't give him anything else, they would prescribe an antibiotic. And we know, according to the pediatric journals, that infants are prescribed sometimes 3 or 4 courses of antibiotics before they reach 1 year of age. Mm-hmm. And so it's a change of the microbiota. It's a radical change in the dietary habits of Americans, and it's also the change of our ability to control our appetite, let's say, for these foods, because now it's become an addictive process. And we have an explosion of GI problems. I mean, a massive amount of people are on some type of antacid remedy. And if you go out socially, you talk to anybody today, they're going to tell you, gosh, you know, I have gas, I have bloating, I have indigestion, or I get a constipation, or I get diarrhea. Even though those are variables that were normal in the past, but now we're seeing it much more prevalent. And, you know, we're not really digging down to find out what the answer is. And the answer is that you shouldn't be eating a diet that has not been tested and to be shown effective in some culture that is enjoying good health, i.e. the Mediterranean diet, which, you know, we know has what we call healthy fats, moderate consumption of carbohydrates, healthy proteins, and so forth. I think the fact that people go on these extreme diets or they just live on junk food will lead them down the path of ill health, because the junk food is too processed and will stimulate a certain growth of bacteria in our gut that's not geared for our optimal health. Because remember that the whole function of the GI tract is to break down the food in the proper molecular size so it can nourish and replenish our body without upsetting the immune system or the 50 million, I should say, to 100 million neurons that's part of our second brain. That's it in a nutshell. In other words, the food has to be of such quality that, you know, facilitates the selection of better microbes in our gut that passes through our gut in a timely fashion. In other words, in enough time so that the nutrients can be extracted to rebuild our cellular structure of the body, and that the food is evacuated through a regular bowel movement so that it doesn't produce toxins that our body reabsorbs. That's the simple truth. And the fact is that people use all kinds of interventions in this normal process when it's not necessary, unless you become, you know, what I call chronically ill or you have chronic digestive issues. I think what it is that everybody has to start thinking creatively and think about a diet that is good for them. The one thing I noticed that is completely devoid in our culture today is the understanding that all food and natural food, organic food, comes loaded with microbes. It's. I think that people, especially the last two or three generations, are clueless that every time you drink something, you eat something, or you even breathe, you are ingesting microbes that have an impact on that gut microbiota. And what we have done environmentally, we have now selected for the most survival-type bacteria that is prevalent in our food, so it's most resistant to antibiotics and can teach other bacteria to become resistant to antibiotics. And people don't realize that these microorganisms that were found in the hospitals alone 20 years ago are now in our community, and we are ingesting them daily. So this lack of knowledge and understanding is what's causing the problem. And we will get to the solution shortly, but I want to fully outline the problem so that people understand. So it's our abuse of antibiotics, our switch to what I call highly processed food that's, by the way, heavily subsidized by our federal government. That's a whole other issue. And our inability to think clearly or have anybody with any integrity tell you that you are responsible for finding the right diet for your genetic background and, you know, making sure that you have the proper probiotic supplementation by understanding a few rules, how to choose an effective probiotic, and getting into some exercise program, even if it's walking half an hour a day. Because otherwise, you're not going to be healthy, and we spend more time and invest more time in our electronic devices than we do in figuring out how to improve our health and how to really lose weight, how to reset our metabolic rate, and how to make certain that we are not just feeding our body but fueling our body.
Well, very, very good information, and thank you. Something that comes to people's mind, you know, is every single year people decide they're going to start getting healthy, usually January 1st. But throughout the year, people switch. You know, they start eating better foods and trying to eat organic. And I mean, really trying to eat a better diet. And many of them, I'll hear from them and they'll say, you know, Jeff, I've changed over my diet. I'm eating all this good food. Why do I feel the same? And it's generally a theme that kind of goes with it. You know, sometimes the food is important. It's very important. But we also have to correct what we've done damage-wise to our digestive system, because an unhealthy gut does not digest unhealthy food, and an unhealthy gut still doesn't have the capability anymore to break down good, better food. So that imbalance in the stomach and the intestines we have to address. It's not just the diet.
Well, first of all, you know, the diet issue is a whole issue. In other words, people think that switching drastically to a vegan diet or eating all raw foods is going to change. No, your body needs adjustment. You cannot be consuming all raw foods. Contrary to popular belief, there's no science behind it, because if you start eating everything raw, your body does not have the microbiota or the ecology in the gut to break down that raw food, and you're going to have problems. You're not going to be absorbing nutrients from this food, even though you think you're eating healthy. So that's, again, where this process of, you know, what I call critical thinking is important. Then on top of that, you have a completely unregulated or self-regulated dietary supplement industry where, you know, people just make marketing claims but don't follow any kind of standard about the contents of their product and how they're going to impact the end user. So you combine that, two bits of most important information equals no success. They can say, I've heard this millions of times, and people tell me, oh, yeah, I've switched my diet. And I have to innocently ask, well, how did you switch your diet? What is your genetic predisposition? Do you have irritation? You shouldn't be eating all this raw foods because your gut is irritated. It's like anything else. If your skin is sunburned, you don't put certain things in your skin when it's sunburned. It's the same thing with your GI tract. If it's irritated and inflamed, you have to be very careful of the food that you consume. And this is the common sense barrier that seems to be prevalent. And then second of all, people are totally confused about, you know, probiotics and what constitutes a good probiotic inclusion into our diet. People think that eating a probiotic junk food will, make it safe for them to eat a food that may contain a tremendous amount of simple sugars and carbohydrates that are going to throw the whole ecosystem out of kilter, because they're going to get so few probiotic microorganisms in that food that's not going to make an impact that'll help their health. But the amount of sugar and carbs in that food will have just the opposite effect on stimulating those bacteria that are going to do us harm. So you see, it's a complete disconnect. And I tell people, anything that tells you on the label that it's a probiotic food is a functional food if the food is really fermented. If there's an added probiotic microorganism, you have to know what organism it is and how much is available to you when you actually consume the food. And that food should not have any added sugars or carbs in it, because you're defeating your purpose, as I said earlier, because if you have a heavily laden food with simple carbs or any amount of carbohydrates, it will stimulate the wrong bacteria and fungi in your gut. And any amount of benefit that you get from the so-called probiotic bacteria will be neutralized or exceeded by the fact that you're eating a food that's stimulating other bacteria. So just consider this simple fact that any food that says it's a probiotic food, it's a functional food and does not meet the criteria necessary to improve the microbiota in your gut. So if you're switching your diet, you really have to consider the proper probiotic supplementation. And why can I say this? Because for 10 years, I sat in the industry standards committee meetings to find a standard for these very important probiotic microorganisms, which I feel are the foundation of our health for the 21st century. That we are learning today as I speak that the microbes in our gut control not only how our body functions, but they also control how our immune system reacts and how our emotions are affected. We know now from studies in animals that emotions such as anxiety, depression, and mood swings are stimulated by our gut. And we know that diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's begin in the gut. So when we're thrown all this information, that's what I call just, you know, bite-sized information, we need somebody to digest, pardon the pun, all of this information so that we can rationally start choosing a path to a better diet and a better probiotic supplementation and an exercise program so we can start changing our health. And the important thing is to find somebody that really knows what they're talking about, because I find today that the so-called gurus are experts in their field, but they really don't have a concept of what works and what doesn't work when dealing with the mass population out there.
Well, let me ask you a question. How do you address the people that have, in their mind, they think they have done something for their gut and their digestive system, and they have started using long-term, you know, proton pump inhibitor medications that are now over-the-counter, so everybody's self-medicating. And because they've made some of these unhealthy symptoms disappear in their mind, and I mean, I've talked with people before, they're like, you know, Jeff, I'm using an acid-restrictive medication, all my symptoms are gone, so I fixed the problem. And I'm like, no, you didn't fix the problem. You put a blanket over the problem. And we started talking a little bit more about it in depth, and they were completely taken back that the problem was not gone and that wasn't the right choice.
Well, absolutely, but let me just give you a simple explanation. The whole purpose of the production of acid in the stomach mm-hmm. is twofold. One is to digest the proteins to the right amino acid and peptide level so that our bodies can be nourished. So we need proteins to produce peptides and amino acids to rebuild our cellular structure and to rebuild every cell in our body. So if it's not broken down by acid, how are you going to be nourishing the rest of your body? Carbohydrate digestion happens in the upper small intestine. So if you're not digesting the proteins, where in your digestive tract are you going to be digesting those proteins? So you see, it's a big problem because nobody really explains how this disruption in digestion will have a long-term effect on your, you know, body to avoid illness and have good gut health. So the second reason you need acid in your stomach is because it's a barrier to prevent microbes that you ingest either through liquids or food from getting into your small intestine. And then I've also asked doctors, because the drug companies that sell these acid reduction medication also tell the doctors that the patient shouldn't be on this medication for more than 2 weeks, mm-hmm. a month maximum. And yet, I'm sure both you and I have talked to people who are on these drugs or medications for 4, 5, 6, and 7 years. And no wonder then they have problems with calcium absorption because they don't have enough acid, a very important mineral. They have problems with, you know, rebuilding their hair, their skin, their inside organs, because the body is not able to break down the protein. And when you step back, I'm not going to get very technical and use very fancy language because I want everybody to understand the importance of making sure you get your digestive tract back to normal. And normal means that there needs to be a production of acid that doesn't harm your esophagus or anything else. The fact that it's harming your esophagus is because there's a problem with your whole digestive system. And this is what people don't understand. And we have to come up with solutions to get the digestive tract back into sync. Otherwise, your every aspect of your health will be affected, and you're pushing what I call the genetic envelope, because now you're predisposing your body to any type of influence, internal or external, that can result in a disease.
So let me ask you a question. You know, we talked about cravings and we talked about our palates, you know, challenging our bodies to follow suit with unhealthy cravings for unhealthy foods. When we start tuning up our digestive system and we start creating a better atmosphere with friendly, good, supportive bacteria, and we're using quality probiotics, and we're then again bringing in good quality food, and we're doing an activity, and we're balancing our stress and getting the sleep, the things that we need to do, these are all parts of a healthy lifestyle. Can we retrain those unhealthy palate cravings? Is it an uphill battle?
No, well, yeah, absolutely. It takes discipline. Mm-hmm. It takes the, you know, what I call specific diet. Perhaps, you know, maybe you have to have smaller meals all day, and you have to learn how to satisfy your craving without breaking your diet. And if you break your diet, don't just, you know, go hog wild and then try to go back. It's a lengthy process. And the fact is that people try to sell you, unfortunately, in the dietary supplement industry, quick fix remedies. Dietary supplements were never designed for quick fixes. They were designed to have a lasting effect on the overall health of our body, because our foods are no longer supplying those nutrients that were prevalent, let's say, 40, 50, 60 years ago in our diet. That's the whole argument. And what happened, I think, in the dietary supplement industry, people tried to mimic what the big pharma companies were doing. They were trying to sell you a dietary supplement to take care of a symptom. That's not the purpose of the dietary supplement. The purpose of the dietary supplement, especially probiotics, is to enhance and balance the GI microbiota so that you will experience good health. And I will, you know, give you guidelines, very simple guidelines, how to choose this all-important dietary supplement. It's by, you know, because I have devoted my life to it, and I think this information is so important that people have to be able to discern what they're spending their money on and what they're wasting their money on.
You know, it is, we are all works in progress. And I think a lot of us want to get back on the path, but I think a lot of us have sidestepped it, and confusion and, you know, misinformation is around every corner. You know, this wonderful information we have at our fingertips sometimes leads us down some unhealthy roads to unhealthy information.
That's right. And, you know, look, here is a simple guideline. And in our next, you know, podcast segment, I'm going to tell you about the 9 foods that contain the inflammation and that also work with your body to help create a better microbiota along with the proper probiotic supplementation. I think the biggest myth in probiotics, because now people throw the term around loosely and they think there's some government oversight on the efficacy of the products. No, there is no government oversight on any efficacy aspect of probiotic products. The only thing the government is concerned on what claims you're making about the probiotic supplement, but whether or not it's efficacious is not in their purview to control. So you, as the individual, have to find out what are those guidelines to select the proper probiotic supplement, what are the foods that you should be concentrating and consuming, and how can you change your exercise routine to start enjoying great health. So please join us in the next, you know, podcast so that I can break this down for you.